Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Millennial in the Middle. I am Connor DeLynn, and I hope you enjoyed the last episode, episode 100. I got real and vulnerable and raw and told you a lot about my experience over the last couple years and where I feel like I'm at now. And the reason I bring up the last episode is I had recorded this interview with Deja Ray. Prior to that, prior to me recording that 100th episode, and I was kind of indecisive about the ordering and what I wanted to do for 100. It kind of made it special, and I realized that I wanted to record episode 100 to talk about kind of my personal story and then have it build right after with this interview with Deja Ray. Because in the last episode, you heard me say that it was the year that I feel like I looked within, that I embraced a time of solitude. And I recently connected with Deja Ray over social media a few months ago and saw her book, Come Home to Yourself. And she is a poet and a writer that has written a few different books now that are such a good way to look at life and a perspective to think through, like, how to truly find what it is that matters to you and how you want to show up in the world. And so this is a great follow-up episode to number 100, and the things she talks about here, I think you'll really resonate with. Go follow her poetry page on Instagram, Ebb and Flow Poetry, Ebb and Flow Poetry, and it is fantastic. That's originally how we connected. I was reading through a lot of her content there. I'm like, man, this is awesome. Like, who's behind this? And I saw, like, it was a member of Gen Z that she isn't a full-time writer, and she uses this as a creative outlet and now has made this a big part of her life. She speaks all over and is going to continue writing, doing things. I'm like, man, we need to have her on the show. And she was kind enough to agree to an interview. So if you want to follow her, go to Ebb and Flow Poetry on social media. You can also find her Deja Ray. All the notes are in the episode here. And go pick up her latest book that just came out a couple months ago, Come Home to Yourself. Great example of a well-rounded person that's chased their passion and also isn't just one thing. You'll find she's actually a data analyst, as her day job. And what a cool, you know, counterbalance of this poet and then this data analyst. And that's what's possible in today's world. Like, we are not tied down by one thing. It's not all black and white. And she's a great example of that. Enjoy the interview. Deja, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm really excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
So let's jump right into this. You just released a book. When did the book come out, by the way?
It came out November 1st of this year, so almost about 2 months ago.
So it's very fresh. It's been getting into people's hands. And first off, let me ask you, like, what is that like? Publishing a book, putting that out there, and then starting to see people, you know, give you feedback and thoughts or how it impacted or influenced them.
You know, it's funny. I always say that there's kind of a two-step process. So yeah. The first step is the fear of judgment, of course, of, sure, you know, people evaluating your work, criticizing your work, having opinions on your work. But as you kind of get used to sharing your art with the world, that part you get somewhat used to. I think the second part is the harder part, which is the vulnerability of people actually seeing you and perceiving you for who you are. Yeah. I always say that art is the most authentic expression of ourselves. And so through my work, I feel like people have, like, this key to who I really am, like this, yeah, access to me that I wouldn't normally give to a stranger. So sometimes after I release a book, I'm kind of like, want to go hide under a rock, just like, don't want to talk to anyone. I'm like, just read the book, enjoy it. But yeah, it definitely feels a bit vulnerable.
I'd love to hear that. That's got to be so exciting. And I love what you said there about art, right? I think, you know, often we think of creating, but being able to show a piece of yourself there, I think, takes it to a new level. You know, we produce a lot of things in the world. We have work, but that seems a side that seems a lot more intimate and a lot more personal. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so much, actually not even so much, everything that I write about comes from experience. I, sure, always say that I have to experience something before I can write about it. So I love that my writing can translate and resonate with different people and different with different perspectives and different walks of life. But you know, at the core of it, it's my experience. And so as vulnerable as that is, I think that that gives it the power to resonate with so many people, because at the end of the day, we're all going through the same human experience, even though it might be in different contexts and different walks of life.
Sure. No, you're spot on. And I think it's so cool to see people of different backgrounds and understandings and belief all connect with the same thing. And that's a theme that I've seen on this show over and over, right? Of I love having people with very different life experiences and perspectives and backgrounds. And almost always we get to this point where we realize, man, we have a whole lot more in common than we do different. And the moment we can relate and connect with someone in a real way, that's when, you know, relationships are made and we can make a lot of progress. Now, with that said, we talk about relationships, we talk about connection, but a big theme of this book is about being okay being alone. And in fact, I wanted to read an excerpt right from the very beginning that I thought was so cool. At like page, well, it's not page one, but it's the first thing you read. Your capacity to love is marked by your capacity to be alone. Talk to me about what that means to you.
Yes, absolutely. It's also on the back of the book here, because that is...
That's right.
Yeah, basically what the whole book was centered around is that, you know, there's the common phrase that you can't pour from an empty cup. And it's so true. I think the more that we can connect with ourselves and the more that we allow ourselves to sit in loneliness and understand ourselves, listen to our intuition, have discernment in the decisions that we make, the more that we have to offer other people. So for example, you know, the past few years of my life, really understanding who I was, what I wanted for myself, and spending time doing those activities, spending time building habits that really gave me fulfillment. And even if that meant I had to walk through a season of solitude or a season of loneliness, I saw that at the other end of it, I had so much more to give, because I felt fulfilled from within rather than trying to look towards the external for that fulfillment. And so really so much of what my book is about is finding that fulfillment and validation from within, rather than basing it on our success or our finances, our career, or putting it into the hands of other people in our friendships or relationships. But, you know, really just putting ourselves at the focus of our attention and putting our own emotional well-being as one of our largest priorities.
I love that. And I can relate with that. And I think this is one of the reasons as we prepped for this interview, I'm like, man, you put into words something that I feel like I've been experiencing, which I'm sure isn't the first time you've heard that. But I'll be real, like growing up, when people would say like, oh, I need time to work on myself, or I need some of this, I all thought that was mumbo jumbo, right? Like, no, you just got to get out there and do things. And I've very much been driven by like this accomplishment oriented check boxes. And like you said, those external factors giving you validation. What do you feel like is the best way to make that transition to being validated internally as opposed to externally?
You know, I think it's a balance. And, you know, it's funny that your whole podcast is based around finding that balance, because it's very in tune with what I believe and very in tune with what I write about. I don't think that there's ever a wrong or right answer. I think that there's seasons to put yourself out there and to go after what you want. And I think that there's seasons to maybe be a bit more reclusive, maybe hone in on your intuition a bit more. So I think what is most important is just having a relationship, cultivating a relationship with yourself, so you can understand what kind of season that you're in. Because if we're always just sitting in solitude trying to work on ourselves, we're robbing ourselves of the beauty of the human experience, which is relationships and connection. And inevitably, regardless of how comfortable we are with our solitude, we need relationships and connections to survive. And I think that that's beautiful. However, we can show up in those relationships so much more authentically and have so much more to give if we also counteract that and listen to ourselves and really take time to ourselves when we feel in our heart, when we feel our intuition calling us into a season of solitude or loneliness.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You know, one of the one of the paradoxes of sorts that they talk often about with our generation is that we're more connected than we ever have been before, right? We can pick up a phone, we can have a video call, like we can get on TikTok and see behind the scenes of a celebrity that we're close to. Yet, like, levels of loneliness are more prevalent with our group than ever before. And so how do you think that ties in, like, with technology and all the noise that's out there?
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. And, you know, it's funny because social media and, you know, can be so advantageous. It really can be. I mean, it's why we've been able to connect and
sure.
have this episode together. So it's so beautiful. But I think the problem lies in quantity over quality. So just because we have more access to one another doesn't mean that we're also having more access to who we really are. We're having more access to real connection. You know, they don't necessarily run in parallel. And so what I've found is that sometimes social media can make us feel like we have to put on a show or we have to put our best foot forward. And that kind of strips ourselves of like real authenticity of what makes connections real, which is vulnerability. And I just think a lot of people now rely on social media more so because they have access to it. And so it's easier to maybe just text a friend or call a friend rather than spending time and creating space for them or going out to lunch, going to get a coffee. It's the instant gratification of social media, which can sometimes be great, but I think it also can rob us of the true connection behind relationships.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And, you know, that actually clicked for me as you were saying that to then the importance of being alone, right? Because if you know who you are and know how you want to show up in the world, it becomes a lot easier than to have those relationships and do that from a place of authenticity.
Absolutely. Yes, exactly.
So tell me this, how did you come up with the title for your book? And talk to me about that concept of coming home to yourself.
Yeah. So, you know, the title is kind of, I have like, whenever I think about come home to yourself, I think of it as an entire vision. Like it's a picture in my head. It's an experience. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, growing up, I was always someone who was always with my friends. I never really wanted to be home alone. I always mm-hmm. wanted to be out and about, especially as a teenager. I constantly wanted to be surrounded by people, by experiences. And I think a lot of that stems from the fact that I wasn't comfortable with myself. I wasn't comfortable, quote unquote, coming home to myself. Mm-hmm. So the title of this book is so meaningful to me because the vision that I have in my head, the entire experience is, you know, coming home, maybe after a long day, pouring yourself a glass of wine, like putting on some good lighting a candle, and just enjoying yourself, being at home in your comfort and not having anyone around, not having anyone that you're texting or talking to, but even so, feeling that sense of warmth and comfort, just like your home, like the big breath of fresh air, you feel comfortable in your own skin, regardless of who is or who isn't hitting you up at that moment.
Yeah. I think that's really well put because for me growing up, like the time I was alone, it's because I didn't have any other options, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I think we're very used to those times where, oh, I had a chill night. Why? Because I had nothing else going on. And mm-hmm. I think that like the way your title and the whole concept of this book, like it's a choice that mm-hmm. I'm not alone today because I had no other choice and just had to be here, right? Like I made that decision. And in that time alone, I wanted to make that something that was going to be beneficial and fruitful. And so to me, just to give you some feedback, like that was one of the biggest pieces I took away from it, is actually being intentional about the time you spend on your own.
Absolutely. And I love that you said that because that is the most important piece of it. You know, some people, including myself, have moments where they're like, oh, you know, I was alone last night. But if you spend your whole time of solitude on your phone, on social media, or just constantly focusing your attention on the external rather than focusing within, you know, does that time in solitude, was it really beneficial? Were you really connecting with yourself? And so I think intentional is the perfect word. We have to be really intentional about that time that we have to ourselves.
Yeah. Tell me this. You know that we talk on this show a lot about like generational theory and the differences of the environment we were raised in compared to our parents or grandparents. What sort of feedback have you gotten from different generations about this? Like, have you seen that this is really connected with younger people and older people hasn't? Or what has that been like?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I think that it depends more on the person and less on the generation from my work and from my experience, because I've had people from, you know, who are much older than me that live on different continents that I do that have resonated so deeply with my work. But then again, of course, there have been people who might not find it helpful, and people who are in my own age or my own demographic have resonated with it or have not resonated with it. So I think it depends a lot more on the person and their walk of life, or even just particularly the season of life that they're in. Because I think this book is so specific to a certain season, a certain feeling. And so some people go through that season when they're younger. Some people may be going through it when they're older. And, you know, I think we kind of ebb and flow throughout seasons of our life. And so I think it really just matters, the context of when it reaches someone in their life.
I think that's well said, and you're right. Like we all have those times that are differing. One of the things I've talked about quite a bit on this show is that when the pandemic took place, all of a sudden, like everyone was experiencing a similar season simultaneously, right? So, for example, like say you lose a loved one, like you are going to probably internalize that, and that's going to affect you in a way, but no one else is affected, right? Like that's you. Everyone else keeps going through their life, and you have that personal season. But have you seen that this season of solitude has been a collective and something that us, as a society have been experiencing as a whole?
Absolutely. I think that there, in the past handful of years, that there's been a lot more awareness around it. And I think a big reason of that is because of COVID. I think, you know, after, and you know, we're still, of course, going through it slowly, but we were ripped of all of the external things that validated us. A lot of us, including myself, lost our jobs. We lost our any sense of financial security. We lost connection with family members. Some of us lost family members. And so I think it was such a wake-up call that at any moment the external can be ripped from us. And all of a sudden we're stepping into an entirely new world that we know nothing about. And so for me, particularly that season of my life, I really had to evaluate, where am I getting my validation from? Am I still happy if I have no job, if I have no financial security, if I have no friends? Where am I basing my joy in? Where am I basing my fulfillment in? And so I think with COVID happening and the quarantines, it made a lot of us reevaluate what makes us happy, and that kind of centering again around solitude of, can I still find a semblance of peace if all I have is myself? Am I enough for myself? And I think that's a really tough question.
Oh, fantastic. You said a wake-up call. I've been calling COVID like the Great Awakening. I really think it was, mainly because all of us just there was a shock to the system of our routines, and the things that seemed normal all of a sudden were gone. And so that reevaluation took place. And
Absolutely.
I think seeing that happen to many people at the same time, I'm hoping that we're coming out of this as a stronger, more intentional, more purposeful people. And that's been what I've seen as I've had a lot of those interviews. What's your take on that?
I absolutely agree. And you know, I never want to be someone who says, oh, like COVID was a good thing, because it was horrible. So many people lost lives, so many people are still struggling through it. You know, I've lost people through, and however, I do think that for me personally, it was a wake-up call, and it did give me a realization of what I wanted to do and where I wanted to base my time. So for example, when it first happened, I was working at a restaurant and I lost my job. You know, all the restaurants shut down, and I had plans to move to New York in 3 months. I had already like had a lease set up. I had roommates picked out. I was about to start my master's program at NYU. And so all of the sudden I'm like, so I'm about to move to New York across the country. I don't have any source of income. I don't know what I'm going to do. And so it was a very huge time of fear and uncertainty on so many levels. And so I just thought, you know, how am I going to deal with this? And so I just kind of picked up my paper and my pen. I've loved writing my whole life. I've always been a writer, but through that, I just kind of was writing down everything that I was anxious about, everything I was fearing, everything I was going through. And through that, just really falling back in love with the craft that I've always known I was meant to do. And I think a lot of people had similar experiences, you know, maybe getting back into playing musical instruments or getting back into cooking or crossword puzzles or whatever it is that they at one point in their life found joy in and then got too busy to do. They found time and they created space for that thing again. And I think that is so, so beautiful because, you know, as we grow up and we start working, we get so caught up in the things that we think we're supposed to be doing. And we're so worried about being productive that we stop creating space for the things that we love. And not everything in life needs to make you money. Not everything needs to be something big and fancy and shiny to show off to other people. We all should make space for the things that just fulfill us naturally and that make us feel good about our lives and help us connect with other people. So I think that was a big, big benefit.
I love that. And I love hearing like when one person's experience seems to be a microcosm of a much larger thing that's happening. And I think your process there, I've interviewed a lot of people on this show that had some sort of a wake up call. They were then reevaluating what they wanted to do, where they found purpose. And they came out of that doing something else, right? Like going to a love or going to a passion. But what I think is really neat about this, and you're a good example of, is that didn't mean you stopped being productive or you're like, okay, I'm not going to school now. Like, I'm just going to follow my passion, travel the world and no cares, and then maybe come back. Like, you found a way to balance that. So first off, tell me a little bit about your story. Like, besides being a writer, what else do you do?
Yes. So I have a bachelor's degree in psychology, and then I just graduated this past May with my master's in global affairs and a specialization in data analytics. So right now I'm working as a data analyst, and then I'm also a poet author. So it's really interesting. You know, I've gone through all of the schooling. I've really mastered some of these subjects, and I still work as a data analyst, but it's so important for me to create space for my writing because it brings me so much fulfillment, and it fulfills me in a different way than my data analyst job does. And I think it's so important because a lot of us grow up with this thinking, and it's not our fault, but it's often because of what society pushes on us. But we think that we have to fit in a box. So if you're a data analyst, you have to be a data analyst. You know, if you're an artist, you have to be an artist. And a lot of people can't conceptualize how those two may overlap. And that's how I felt at one point too. I felt that I had to pick one thing and one thing only. But as I've, you know, these past few years, seeing how they've balanced each other out and honestly really complemented one another. Because I think if we have a job that, you know, maybe fulfills our more analytical side or our more competitive side, and then we have a different type of passion that fulfills our more creative side and our, you know, intuitive need to connect with other people, it ends up really balancing each other out in such a beautiful and holistic way.
I love the juxtaposition of like the data analyst by day and the poet by night.
Right.
You're so right. Like we are constantly told like, oh, well, what do you do? And you've got to give a one or two word answer, right? I'm a data analyst. I'm a lawyer. I'm in the tech world. I'm a salesperson, whatever it is. And I think giving that sort of answer doesn't give us the ability to have the depth that we know we all have, right? Mm-hmm. Like, of course, we're multifaceted. And being able to, you know, the more we do just one thing and we stay in that extreme, the more we are going to get burnt out or the more we feel like we don't have that side. So how have you seen like those two things, being able to do both of them, allow you to still stay excited and like enjoying what you do and not dreading your job and then you have your fun life?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny that you bring that up because I think one thing that I have really enjoyed about doing both is that I don't feel, because at the end of the day, right, we all have to make money. So that's, we all have to make money. We all have bills to pay. And I think having a steady job, having a job that I know I'm going to make X amount of money from every month, brings me that security. Having a job that where I feel like I'm really using the skills that I've learned throughout my education brings me that sense of fulfillment. And it also allows me to write and create in a way without pressure. And I've found in seasons of my life, maybe where I was only writing, you feel this sometimes consciously, sometimes subconsciously, but you feel this pressure to create and make money, because at the end of the day, that's what we have to do. We have to pay our bills. But a lot of the times when we put so much pressure on ourselves, especially creatively, it ends up stripping us of the actual joy in creation. Yeah. And so having both of those things have just really fulfilled me in different ways, given me security while also allowing me the creativity to explore myself and to connect with other people. And yeah, I really love, and I always recommend people to just create space for what you love as well. Even if your job, you feel like, oh, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough space for this. That's all, you know, that's all an excuse somewhat that we tell ourselves. You can always take 10 minutes a day to reconnect with yourself. That's really all it takes. It doesn't have to be some huge commitment. You could just take very, very small incremental steps every day.
Yeah, I think that's so cool. And you talking about, you know, having to make money and feeling all of this pressure, I think often comes because we're very time bound as well, right? Like not only mm-hmm. do we want to achieve things, but we feel like we're in this race against the clock. Like, oh, we've got to do this by this age, or we've got to be at this point by here. Mm-hmm. And I think part of releasing that pressure, like you just said, is like, where are we racing towards, right? Like there's no finish line that we're getting to. And I think that sort of perspective comes from being intentional, looking within, and suddenly that pressure stops killing you, because that's just life.
Exactly. And you don't have all your eggs in one basket. You know, you have these different talents, these different ways to express yourself. And so inevitably, sometimes things might not be good at work, or sometimes maybe your book isn't selling or your art isn't selling, but you're not basing your whole identity in one single thing. You know, you're allowing yourself to express yourself in different ways and different modalities. And I think it's also so much of being multifaceted, as we all are, is we have to work out those areas. If you're not spending time being creative, then of course you're not going to feel like you're creative. If you're not spending time working out in the gym, of course you're not going to feel like you're strong. And yeah. So I think that's also why it's so important to invest our time doing different things, because we're massaging those different muscles and we're allowing different aspects of ourselves to come out that we may have not thought were ever there. But at the end of the day, we're all creatives. We all have the ability to create and pursue and connect. And so it's really about making space to just really hone in on that.
Yeah. I wonder if you give some advice to the listeners, like those that may have different facets to their life, and maybe they have things that are a juxtaposition like you. How do you find the balance in being able to go back and forth between the two modes? Because it definitely is a very different energy. It's a different, you know, part of your mind that you're using. I mean, I thought about that today. I mean, I've had a very busy day so far this morning. I've been in meeting after meeting after meeting and haven't left my computer. And then I knew, like, okay, in 20 minutes, I've got to be in a place to talk about life and to talk about introspection. And I want to get into that. Like, sometimes it's more than just flipping a switch. What would your advice be?
Absolutely. And full disclosure, I've definitely struggled with that. It's really tough. I work in the mornings as a data analyst, and I'm like, the last thing that I want to do right now is like try and write poetry. Like my mind is not there. So I think the biggest thing that I found, which has been helpful, is again, connecting with myself and understanding what works for me. So for example, I feel most creative. I feel like my mind flows easiest in the morning time, like early, early morning before the sun rises. Like that's when I write best. And so because I know that about myself, I have to be very intentional. Okay, Deja, today you're going to wake up just 20 minutes early and you're going to write, because you know that that is when you feel most creative. Mm-hmm. So I think really understanding ourselves of what works for us and what doesn't, and then planning our schedule around that. And also not putting too much pressure on ourselves, because at the end of the day, it's, you know, we're here on our life. Our life purpose is to enjoy it. So if one day you're not feeling it, you know, don't create from a place of force. Don't force yourself to do something that doesn't feel authentic. But again, you also have to be very cognizant of what doesn't work for you and plan, be very intentional in your planning of how you're going to go about your day, to just be able to pursue different things in a way that feels balanced and genuine.
Yeah. Great advice there. And I love that it came back to like, know yourself. You've got to ask yourself those questions and you've got to try everything. Different things. And when you find something that works, and how do you know it works? Because it feels good. And you are in that state, then create routines and make those habits, make those things that stick through. The next area I wanted to talk to you about is you made a comment a minute ago that, you know, you're writing, but you still needed to pay the bills. You still had a job, right? Yeah. But I know there's a lot of people that are entering like this passion economy or the gig economy that their goal is they'd like to make that their full-time thing, right? They'd love to turn their passion into their main source of income, but you don't just jump off the bridge that day and be like, oh, I'm just going to be a writer for the rest of my life at 23 years old or whatever it might be and go. So I want to hear your story a little bit about you're a data analyst, you're going to school, and you decide to make an Instagram account. And like you took some baby steps to get there. How was that?
Absolutely. And thank you for asking. So I think a big thing about when I started my Instagram and started sharing my writing, it was right after the whole quarantine. We're still in quarantine. And I started it in a way that had no pressure. Again, I know I keep saying that, but I think that that was so important in my journey, is that I didn't start my Instagram with the intention of, I need to get this many followers and I want to write this book and this book. I was just expressing myself. It was just coming out very creatively and very authentically. And then through also, you know, taking consistent action and being very consistent with my work, it's grown very organically. And so I think for me, you know, it's all been really about just being consistent and taking little steps every day. I think for people who may be listening, when we look at the end goal, it can feel really overwhelming because we think, okay, this is where I'm at right now and this is where I want to be. Like, how the hell am I going to get there?
Yeah.
But I think so much of life is just taking small steps every day and being just truly consistent in your work and not allowing different opinions or different pressures from the outside world to affect you so greatly. And I write about this so much, is that all the answers that we need are inside of ourselves. So if we just take a moment to get in tune with ourselves and understand what it is that we want, then that is guaranteed in essence. Like, we will get there, but we have to take away the timeline. We have to take away the pressure, the expectation, and just enjoy the process of creation. Enjoy the process of just being who we are and showing up as our most authentic self. And so my journey has been, you know, it's been hard, like, not to say that it's been this smooth breeze. There's definitely been moments where I've questioned and I've struggled with doubt and insecurity and fear. But at the other end of it, you know, I've always seen it was always fine. All of my fear always came from me trying to fulfill these very unrealistic standards and expectations, or comparing myself to what everyone else was doing or what everyone else wanted. And it's just, you know, connect with yourself, tunnel vision on what you want, how you feel, and just honor that.
I think that's really well put. And when you talk about those little steps, often those little steps aren't risky, right? Like, there isn't much to be afraid of. And I think of you just starting your poetry account and like, okay, so if no one ever followed it and you decided to stop after 6 months, what would you have lost? Absolutely nothing. But instead it has the effect of actually creating a following and getting people that were connecting. Like, what did that feel like when all of a sudden, you know, this went from a passion, a hobby you were creating, and then all of a sudden you had hundreds of thousands of people commenting and liking and following what you were doing?
Yeah, it was a shock, to be fair. Like, it was definitely a shock. I started my Instagram and it was meant to just be like a creative outlet. And I thought, oh, my friends and family will follow along and it'll be fun. I'll post some inspirational stuff, my thoughts here and there. And then like random people started following and I was like, oh, like they like my work. Okay. And then, you know, people would message me or, oh, the craziest thing is when people started messaging me, asking me if I had a book. And that was prior to publishing my book. And I was like, people like, what? Yeah. Like so I think it was very flattering. It was very, very inspiring. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt innately that I was meant to be a writer. I've always known that in my heart. However, I was very scared to pursue it. I was scared of the vulnerability. I was scared of the judgment. So seeing my writing resonate with people all over the world has just like, it's just really been the most fulfilling experience of my life. And I always say this is like, my writing is the best thing that's ever happened to me. It's the reason why I feel fulfilled in my life is because I'm doing what I feel like is so in alignment with who I am and with who I want to be. And it grounds me and it keeps me even accountable when I'm going through hard times. Sometimes I'll flip open my own book and remind myself of the things that I've written about. And so, yeah, it's really just been the most beautiful experience. I'm so grateful.
Yeah. What a good example, right? For people that have something that they love, maybe they have gone within and they're like, but how do I do it? You don't quit your day job. You keep doing what you're doing. And then you take those small steps. Go make the Instagram account. Go put yourself out there. And you're learning along the whole process of that. And you know, listening to that feedback and then, you know, being inspired again and again and again. Tell me what's next. So like, do you want this to become your thing? I know you've talked about speaking. Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely, my dream is to one day like retire on a beautiful island, like with the beaches and palm trees. And all I do is write poetry every day. Like that's my dream. That's what I want to do. However, I also know that there's a time and a season for that. And
sure.
So I'm just really allowing seasons to unfold in front of me. And just, yeah, going with the natural flow of life and not putting too much pressure. To be honest, like I did go through a season where I felt like, okay, I need to quit my job and I need to just do my writing because that's what I should do. And I think sometimes we get in those feelings because of external pressure, feeling like, oh, I need to do this, I need to do this. And so right now I'm really just submitting to the way life is. I would love to, I have so many different, like, again, not wanting to be put in a box. I have so many different dreams and ideas. I would love to speak more at events. I would love to be a college professor one day. I would love to like open a store with plants and like a coffee shop. And so I don't know, to be fair, I have so many interests and I don't doubt that I'll pursue them all at one point in life.
Yeah, I don't doubt that either. I love that. I want a store with plants. You go. That make it happen. Exactly. You know, the other thing you told me before the call, and I hope I'm okay to bring this up, that you plan on over the next year working remotely and traveling to some places, specifically South America. One, what led you to want to do that? And two, how are you feeling about it?
Yeah. So traveling has always been a really big part of my life. Like post-grad, I really have always kind of just spent my money on traveling. I try and budget really well and budget so I can travel. So this summer I was spent in Spain, which was absolutely beautiful. And so next year, again, just kind of going with the flow, but so far the first few months of the year, I'll be in South America, I'm doing Brazil, Argentina, possibly Colombia. And yeah, just really like putting my feelers out there, seeing the world. It also gives me so much inspiration in my writing, being able to connect with people all across the world. Cause that's really where I find my inspiration is through connection, through relationship, understanding different people, learning other people's perspectives. I think it gives me a really holistic outlook on life and it allows me to write in a way that resonates with so many different people because I have the opportunity and I have the honor of being able to understand and connect with different people all across the world. So I'm really excited for this upcoming season.
Yeah. Good for you. Everyone who listens to this show knows I'm a huge advocate of travel and getting out there. I often say travel is the antidote to ignorance, right? I think reminding yourself to get out of that bubble, reminding yourself that there's more out there. And I wanted to ask as well, like with your social media accounts and with your book, how much would you say, if you have a feel, is are people who don't necessarily live in the United States, like that are global, that are from all over, because man, we have this potential to reach so many more individuals than ever before. Have you experienced that?
Oh my goodness, yes. It's always like so jarring. So yeah. For example, actually just maybe a week ago or so, I went on TikTok and I was tagged on a TikTok and I click on it. And it's this older man, maybe in his 60s. And I want to say his location was in Nigeria. And he was reading my poetry. And I was like, yeah. Wow, that is so powerful. Yeah. That this older man who we've come from totally different walks of life, we're able to connect with one another through yeah. art, through social media. Like, that is so powerful to me. And so seeing people from all over the world, I've had people reach out to me on the completely other side, being like, sending me pictures of my book. And it's really, really powerful and just reminds me to keep going, because you know the potential to connect with people is honestly limitless. And that's why social media, we are really, really lucky to have it in this day and age, especially as creatives.
Yeah, I got the chills as you said that, right? Because I think that's such a real thing to all of a sudden be like, oh, I would have never come across that person in this existence in my life, yeah. right? But being able to connect in that way. And then that shows the power of content and the power of art, like you said. You know, when I went through your page, I was reading things that you wrote 2 years ago. And, you know, and it's cool to see. I mean, I feel that way with my podcast. I'll get a text from someone and they're like, oh, I just listened to this episode. I loved it. And I'm like, man, I recorded that episode a year ago. I totally forgot about that. But that's still out there in the, you know, content universe. And you never know when someone's going to pick that up or touch it and have that impact someone's life.
Absolutely. I always say this is that, you know, not to be morbid, but if anything were to ever happen to me, there is like something tangible that is left of me. And when yeah. you really focus on, you know, putting your art out into the world, your impact is perpetual, because even yeah. if you're gone, it continues to impact, it continues to get passed on. And so it's really beautiful. And yeah, I feel very, very lucky.
I love that. So well said. For my listeners, I mentioned this in the intro, but how can they follow you? Where can they find you?
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram and TikTok. I am at Ebb and Flow Poetry. That's EBBANDFLOW Poetry. It's quite the mouthful.
Good word.
Yeah. Yes.
Ebb and Flow Poetry, and then your book. Like, what's the best way to find your book?
Yes.
And you also have two books. I've only read the one, but yeah. Yes. So where can we find that?
I do. They're both on Amazon. I know Amazon is very accessible for most people, especially sure. throughout the world. So you can find them both on Amazon. My newest one, Come Home to Yourself, can also be found through my publishing company on Shop Catalog. All of those links are also in my Instagram bio. I have a link tree there, so you can check out everything. I have a newsletter you can subscribe through Substack. Cool. So again, all of those links are in my bio on Instagram.
Okay, perfect. And I'll make sure those links all go in the show notes for this. So anyone that's perfect. Listening, feel free to go check that out. Last question I wanted to ask here. There's one other quote I thought was so cool and I want to leave it.
Yeah,
I want to end with this. I loved your energy is your most expensive currency and not everyone can afford it. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give to those that, like, you're right, we have a limited supply of energy and it's so easy to leak energy in places that it shouldn't be? What's the best way to make sure that that most expensive currency is being spent well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think really being honest with ourselves, I think a lot of us put our time and energy into people that drain our time and energy. And so I think the goal should always be to invest our energy into the things and people who give us energy right back. And so really evaluating who and what that is and isn't. I'm always an advocate for journaling, and not only because I'm a writer, but because I think that when we put things down on pen and paper, it keeps us accountable. And so we have these moments of divine insight. And so it's so important that we write it down in those moments. So when we're going through hard seasons or we feel more uncertain, we can reference back to what we previously knew and remind ourselves of the truth. So yeah, really just being honest. And I'm telling you, the truth hurts, but it's going to be worth it in the end.
Oh, man. Such a great way to wrap this up. I love that we often think we expend our energy and that's all that happens. But no, we get energy from other places. And that's why you can do something that takes a lot of energy and be energized doing it.
Absolutely.
Or from doing it. And it seems like that's definitely what you're doing right now in life and in your poetry and your writing. I wish you all the best and hope that people have been, you know, touched or connected with this today and that you'll continue to create and make an impact out there on the world.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so lovely. And yeah, I'm excited to just kind of see where this life takes both of us.
I love it. Well, thank you very much. I gave you the warning how I end every show. If I have any of your followers that are listening for the first time, like, what is this? But it's all about finding the balance in the middle. Clowns to left me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Thanks, everybody. That's Deja Ray. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in